Father, we thank you for these moments you give us together to study you. And learn how to live like you. Help each person to hear and understand. Give me utterance that I may speak your word clearly. We praise and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's turn back to the Master's word in Matthew. Jesus was trying to teach us so much. I'll make a statement here that I think he would allow me to do. What we have to do is pull the mask off of Jesus and see him trying to teach us to be who he is. Matthew chapter 11. And every biblical character, you need to pull a mask off them. You get to talking about them so much, you don't recognize that the Lord is sending you a message to them. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's nothing the Lord can't handle.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
And so here Jesus gives us an invitation. And I think when I first brought this out in this series, I'll read it, then I'll ask the same question. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, I used to read verse 28 through 30 in the early part of my ministry, but after getting further into insight, he says, all things, Matthew 11, 27, Jesus the speaker, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Okay? No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whosoever the Son will reveal him. All right, so we're dealing on the basis as a Christian. We're dealing on the basis of revelation. You heard me?
Yes.
Yeah, not religion, not rituals. Christianity has to be live on the base of revelation. This book is the book of Revelation. The Holy Spirit has to open this book to you, or you'll just have memorization. And it won't manifest. Memorization won't manifest. And memorization cannot bring demonstration. All right? So here in that 27th verse, before we go to the 28th verse, 29th verse, you've got to talk about a very important subject, but it tells you that you have to have revelation in order to understand the importance and the impact that this can have on your life daily. And that's what I'm thinking about here, daily impact. We're not talking about, you know, next month or next year or this situation is different. No, that your situation is no different than God can handle it, all right? And here you come to get yourself prepared to know how to walk in what belongs to you. So now Jesus gives us this invitation. And come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You see that?
Yes,
how many of y'all see that?
Yes,
all right. So it's an invitation.
Yes,
but then he tell you how. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now that statement, I'm meek and lowly in heart, tells us what the invitation is all about, or where the invite is to come. See, because we're thinking it means Jesus telling us come to him, but not necessarily so. He's telling you to come to a part of his life that the church knows very little about. He's inviting you, give you an invitation to know how his soul works. And how to get your soul in alignment so you won't be going through all the labor and all the wondering and all the fight you in. So Jesus is not calling us to physical rest. You're going to have to be able to receive enough to make your rest yourself. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
So this invitation, I don't want y'all to see tonight, because I'll ask you a few questions in a few minutes to get you on in tune to what, in tune and in the right rhythm, in the right realm. Write that down. In tune, the right rhythm, the right realm. Realities of the power that is available to you 24 hours a day. And then how to use it. Every problem you have as a Christian is soul abuse. It's Satan abusing your soul for you don't know how to deal with it properly. And you're trying to deal with everything in your spirit and your soul not connected properly. You can have all the faith you want. If you're not thinking right, Satan's going to whoop you. And see, if you don't know how to use your imagination, if you don't know how to, you let other people take your imagination with these different religions and different cults, but you still got to use your imagination. Not be afraid of it. So he says here, he tell you in verse 29, this is a soul lesson. That word heart means soul. You look it up in the concordance, that word heart means, you see that word heart or inner man. Now, I believe your innermost being is your spirit. In him we live, we move, and have our being. But yet your soul is not born again. But yet it can make born again transaction. If it's properly addressed, or let's go back. If it's properly understood and then properly addressed, or let's go back further. If it's properly taught. That's my job here, to teach you how to properly function in your soul, that you can connect with your spirit, connect with the Holy Spirit, connect with the will of God, and on the other end, get manifestation in your life and your life situation. Not just saying a prayer. Not just reading the scripture. Not just quoting the scripture. But know at any given time, you listening? Where you're missing it at. Now, most of y'all know y'all should supposed to be further than what you are now. All the time you put in? And all the power God said he had? See? So we got to find out. You see, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn how I handled it. You see? And tell you what? What I had to work with. Jesus said, this is what I had to deal with. I had to deal with my soul. My spirit is born again. But I had to deal with my soul. He said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart or in soul or in my inner man, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Study my soul.
Yes, sir.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to say some pretty heart-wrenching things. And I need to deal with them so I can get you in a stronger stance. You want to be strong in the spirit, right? All right, so I'm definitely not picking on you. What good that going to do me? But I want you to know some things, and the only way you're going to know them is that I'm going to have to get out of the word of faith, get out of charismatic, get out of, and just go on and do what the Lord telling me to do.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, people are scared to do that, but I'm not.
Yes.
Because I'm not getting fired for you. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now there's you're going to get an answer tonight. Here's a few things that the Lord told me to write down. We must stop the molestation of good people who love God. People who really love God, but they're still getting molested in their life. And we have to stop that, and we're going to show you how to stop that.
Yes,
Another thing he says to me to make you more clear in this lesson, if you don't know what's happening to you, how are you going to stop it? All right. Then there's a question, why I can't reach this point in my life that I know that is there for me. Why I can't get there? Why? I mean, I've prayed, man. I've been to church. I heard good messages. Why can't I get to this point in my life? Now, I know I'm talking to somebody. But you got jammed, whole jammed there. Just go to Proverbs chapter 4. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's look at this a minute. Well, why I can't get to this place? Man, I see it. I have sung it and prayed it. How can I get? Why I can't get there? I've heard it preached. Why I can't get there? We must find out what that is. You see, your spirit is willing, but what? Why the flesh weak? You got it. You're getting it. See, it's really not a flesh deal. The flesh follow orders. But the flesh is open to outside orders or inside orders. And if the soul is not trained, it's going to disobey the spirit.
Yes.
But boy, if you ever get it trained, if you ever get your soul trained to know how to flow with the spirit, you're going to start seeing some blessings flowing like never before. All right? Now, in Proverbs, is an eye-opener here. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, now I know you've seen this verse before, but I want to read my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my saying. Now, he's trying to get something to us, right? God always, write this down, God always trying to get something to me. He's a loving father, and he always trying to get something to me. And in these series of lessons, he going to get it to me. You're going to find out what's blocking it, and you're going to find out what's rocking it. You're going to find out how to receive it. You want to know that, right? Now, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many scriptures you know. You need to listen. All right? So he says, my son, attend to my word, incline thy ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? See. You saw that? Keep them where? All right. Now, for their life unto those that find them and help to all their flesh. Right? All right. Now look at verse 23. That's a word in there. I want you to see issues. See it? Issues. How many ever had any issues in their life? That's all life full of issues. But he said, keep thy heart with all dealings. And he told you how to do it with his word. For out of it are the issues of life. In other words, your soul has to distribute what the spirit give it. If not, you will not be a partaker. You'll be a robot. If everything can happen without your participation, or if God gonna become your errand boy and go do it without your partnership, then Satan can accuse him that he operating without a license. Or it's illegal for him to do that for you. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to hurt a little bit. Because your soul's stupid. I'm talking to me too. See. So we must learn to move in the revelation of soul impartation. Now, this will serve one of my daughters well. When you're going through something like everybody, nobody know the trouble you go through. And I'm about to say something that's not too nice and not too light. Most Christians that is running around having affairs, it is not a whole issue. It's a soul issue. The woman or the man is not that fine.
That's right.
But they just got a soul problem. They don't know how to keep the flesh under control. So most Christians that is running around, it is not a whole issue. It's a soul issue. And it's a continuation of the flesh and carnality of the mind, shedding out the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Read Romans 8, you see it. Romans 8 talks about life, and as we deal with this soul issue. Now, let's go back to James, because anybody ever had a test?
Oh, yes.
Anybody ever fail a test?
Oh, yes.
Anybody ever give up? Don't you never tell a man and a woman you love, don't let no husband steal them from you. Stand up and fight, God dog it. Keep yourself fixed up. Don't be all sad, God dog it. Fix yourself up. Strut your stuff. People weaken their soul. James 1. I have to read from the first verse, do a little reading here for us to catch a grip of this about our soul. James, verse 1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribe which are scattered abroad, greeting. And he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation. Now you have to know something now. Knowing this is the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it should be given him. But let him ask how? Amen. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Where can you wave at? She's wavering. For let not that man think he should receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8 locates the soul. Verse 8 locates the soul. You cannot be double-minded in your spirit. Because if you double-minded in your spirit, God double-minded. So any doubt or any affliction that come upon you and you think you're not going to make it, that's not your spirit.
Right.
How can you not make it and you already made it?
Right.
How can somebody take you off the bus and you already got your seat? But we've been running this miracle around with all this revelation and deep stuff and getting whooped all the time by not just knowing that the Lord need to train us in our soul.
Yes.
Jesus said, I had a successful life. I had a powerful life. And the miracles worked in my life. And when I spoke, everybody listened because I had my soul trained.
Yes. Yes.
Now, every one of y'all listen to me. Every one of y'all powerful.
Yes, sir.
But you got to connect.
Yes, sir.
You got to connect properly. Double-minded. Double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Where your double-minded at? Uh-huh. So that's what the enemy robbed you at. He gets you to doubt that you have it and you already it's already yours. You see our point? So you have to come to the place where you know how to control your soul. I asked a question, I wrote it a different way, and I told calling a young man back, I said, no, put it just like I said the first time. What happened when your soul is out of control? You're double-minded and unstable, and havoc will keep occurring in your life. Now, let's look at a few things to correct this. Turn to Romans 8. Let's talk about the power of being spiritually minded. Ooh, my goodness. Of developing your mind spiritually. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
See, when you develop your mind spiritually, you're developing your conscience. You're developing, oh Lord, listen to this one. You're developing your emotion. Anybody emotion ever got him in trouble? You ever want to cuss somebody? You ever want to cut them? Y'all better tell the truth up here. Until you learn how to control your soul, somebody's going to get you off the bucket. Romans is the 8th chapter, is a life chapter of the spirit, but you cannot have life in the spirit without a trained mind. He talks about this in Romans 8. He talks about this. He talks about the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2. And talk about not having no condemnation in chapter 1. And they talk about in verse 3. In verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Then verse 6, see it? For to be carnally minded is death. Where can I be carnally minded? So that's why Romans 12:2 is there. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, renewing of your mind. Now, I wrote down a bunch of minds the other day, but there's a sense mind. We're not talking about your sense mind. We're talking about your spiritual mind. He said, be spiritually minded. So what is he saying? He's saying in Romans 8, 26 to 28, you know, you talk about praying in the spirit, the intercessors know all about that. He says that you might know what is the mind of the spirit. So the spirit, your spirit, the Holy Spirit and your spirit is willing to teach your soul how to be spirit minded. See, your imagination is not pretending. The Lord is not telling you pretend in your imagination. The Lord telling you see what is rightfully yours. Imagine that you have it already. Create an image in your mindset that is yours already. You see what I'm saying? But you're not pretending because it is yours. See, we're not talking about psychology yet. We're talking about spiritual laws. And the imagination that the Lord talking about is, can I get you to imagine what I say is already yours? Where there's no vision, where there's no imagination, see yourself with the answer. I dare you. You listening? Manifestation does not come on their own. You have to cause it to happen. I said something to you Sunday. I don't know if you heard what I said. Your faith got to think. You said to act like you heard it 15 times. You never heard that. Your faith has to think. You can't just throw your faith out there with no mindset. You can't afford for your soul to be out of control. Then somewhere in Luke, he says, I must be the possessor of my soul. I think in Luke 22, he said, through patience you possess your soul. I say, wow. Matthew chapter 5. Who knew what in Matthew chapter 5? What is it called? Yeah, you got to have the right attitude. Right gratitude too. But I want to show you something in Matthew 5. 5:5. Now remember Matthew 11. Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in soul. Right? Uh-huh. It says here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek where? Now, most Christians have a crazy soul because they haven't been attended to. I'm just talking to you. I'm just ministering to you. I'm just your pastor talking to you. I'm not trying to hurt you. But you know about your soul and how it gets you in trouble. And what we're here tonight, we're trying to turn this thing around so you can go ahead and walk high like God wants you to walk. But you're not going to do it without a trained soul. I don't need no whom up in here. I need y'all to pay attention. Keeping your soul pure will keep you in the presence of God. Don't miss this, because I think this will be an answer to you. The purpose of the soul or your soul is to produce divine exchange between your spirit and your senses. I know religiously they won't teach you this, but you see, when the Holy Ghost and your spirit and your soul are connected properly, your senses come alive. Amen. To understand what God wanted to happen. Back in the day, they wouldn't touch that, because you just throw your senses out. That's all, be all spirit. No, you need to use your senses. And you need to get them senses in line up, because they're going to mess up if you don't get it lined up. So I want to read that to you again. The purpose of the soul is to produce divine exchange between your spirit and your senses. Which a divine exchange is already taking place between the Holy Spirit and your spirit. You know, you got 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Why keep Romans 12:1-3? Why keep telling us this? So keep programming your soul with the Word of God. John 6:63. Romans 12:2, John 6:63. Look at that. You know, both of y'all can quote it, but look what it said. Keep programming your soul with the Word of God. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But that spirit and life out of your spirit can train your soul to function the same way. Boy, I got some religious spirit jumping tonight. In studying knowing how to unfold your soul, it has to be unfolded because there are some things you need to get out of there. So you have to know how to unfold your soul. Then you have to know when to fold your soul. There are certain things you're not going to let go in there. Permitting the Holy Spirit, watch now, and you to mold your soul. Make your soul a model. Turn to Luke 22, I think it is. I made the Holy Spirit breathe on us tonight because he, you know, it's not such deep teaching, but if you hear what he's saying, you can let him work with you. You can check things out and see why I'm praying 4 and 5 hours, nothing ain't changing like it should change. God dog it, all this power, but you got interruption. Because if you don't guard your soul, if you don't know how to guard your soul and protect your soul, when Jesus said, he was teaching us, in Matthew, he invited us to learn how he had his soul in socket. That's why I think it was operating so smoothly. When he said, a thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy, he ain't got no place to rob you but your soul. He can't rob your spirit, and he robbed your body because your soul is not intact. Bible says all the promises of God are yea and amen. Who changed that? See what I'm saying? I mean, you may not have no idea what's happening to you right now, but you better go over this. You better listen, because that's where the problem at. That's where the stealing going at. That's where the abuse going on at. That's where the holding stuff back from you at. Right there. Satan is no match for your spirit. He already knows yours. It's trickery. Look what Jesus said in Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may what? What is system going on now? Good people love God, trying to live right, but yet can't function properly because the enemy is sifting. He can't sift out of your spirit, Heather. He can't sift out of your body. He has to sift out of your soul. When your soul is in authority, your body can't be robbed. Sickness, somehow, the enemy have sneaked you in your soul. Now, all we're going to do, you're going to reverse it. So you start training this soul, you're going to reverse it because he's not as powerful as you are. But you got to get that divine connection going. Are you hearing me? Now, what he said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. You know, he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Both in prison, and he did it. He shifted him and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt twice deny that thou knowest me. Now, nobody loved Jesus no more than Peter. But I reading and praying, that's a soul issue. So where are all the great robberies going on in the church? Why good men go bad? Why women take a creep? I'll put it all on us. It's a soul. They're out of order. They're good people. They love God. They really genuinely love God. But they never was properly taught that that thing's sneaking in on you. See, because it's all emotion. Then after you feel like a dog.
Come on now.
I've been in the street, I know what the street is. You feel like a dog. You are a dog. At that time. Woo! I hope it hurt. Shifting and slipping and falling. There are some things that have happened to you that must be uncovered tonight that you may step into a discovery that will change your life forever. Let me read that again. Somebody raise their hand. All right. There are some things that have happened to you that must be uncovered. Now I'm not talking about adultery and all that stuff. I'm talking about thing that shouldn't have happened to you. That you may step into a discovery that will change your life forever. See. If you know how to check your soul, if you know how to check your conscience, if you know how to check your emotion, you know how to check your imagination, you know how to check that desire you have. Is it pleasing to God, that desire, that will you have? Is it pleasing to God? If you know how to check that, you'll be a powerful woman and a powerful man. I wrote, and I want you to write this time down, and this is for the whole church. This is a time of recovery. When you make a discovery, you can get a recovery. Next thing I want to say for the Spirit of God, along with those two things about discovery and recovery, all the tricks of the enemy will be uncovered. Every trick he's trying to use in your life, if you pay attention, every blessing. I got to turn to Psalm 103 here now. Every blessing in your life, every benefit that have been smothered will resurrect in the revelation of these truths. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. You see, turn to Psalm 3. Let's have some fun here. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefit. In those five things, he covered everything that I need. Turn to Psalm 103. See it. No, he's telling the soul blessing. See, the Spirit said, I got it. But I need the soul rejoicing here. God wants you to bless him. Want your soul to bless him. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and oh my goodness, and forget not all of his benefits. Now listen to the benefits. Come on. Go to the third verse. Listen to the benefit. Who forgiveth? Jesus Christ. He's forgiven all of them? All of my mistakes? Shortcomings? I'm glad about it. Look at the next part. Who healeth? Wait a minute, they must be lying there. Something wrong. Something wrong. What's wrong? Come on, talk to me. What's wrong? The soul, that's what's wrong. Y'all don't sit down like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. It's your soul messed up. Your soul got to straighten out. You got power in your spirit. Don't sit there like you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't sit there looking all spiritual and deep. Tell me what I'm telling you, that your soul has to be trained. That's the only way the enemy can hold anything back from you. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God has worked you in you to do his will and his good pleasure. His good pleasure is that you be blessed. I know some of y'all deep prayers and praises don't want to admit to this, but you got soul holding you back. I know preachers don't want to admit this, but their soul holding them back. Even in the pulpit, they're not progressing because their soul holding them back. They're trying to do something for themselves, but only God can do it. You can't make it happen if God's not in it. You can use all the scriptures you want. If God's not in it, you can't make it happen. You can use all the affirmation, all the confession, all the praise you want. If God's not in it, you can't make it happen. It's your soul been jerking you around, holding you back. Your soul is designed to bless you. Go ahead. He healed all my disease. Look at it. The whole deal. That's the whole deal. Go to the next one. It's the whole deal, man. What is your name? Some of y'all ain't said nothing. I'm looking at you in the face. What is your name? What is destruction? You know what you need to do? Keep your soul soaked in joy. Joy is a remedy for a soul that needs to be promoted. And I'm not talking about as the world give it. I'm talking about a supernatural joy. Count it all joy. Now, if you're going to do this, you have to be a little silly to the world. You notice how I said silly to the world. You're really not silly, but you're silly to them because they don't understand what you're doing. But they will see who really silly. Demon, my life from destruction, who crying to thee with love and kindness. Oh, he loved me. Look, two words together there. Loving kindness, not just loving kindness and tender mercy. Go to the next one. You shout, you no more shout. Now, the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of what you have put in your soul, your mouth gonna say it. That's right. So why you won't say I can't make it?
What?
Why you won't say it's not working? And why you won't look back at all your uncles and all them people yet and make an excuse? No, this is a brand new day, baby. Your uncles didn't have me teaching them. Oh, it's a brand new day. I'm just being frank about it.
Oh, that's good, Dad. Yes, sir.
I don't want you to take all this teaching and try to be normal like the rest of your family member. You know too much. Leave the doggone party. I don't care who birthday it was. If they're getting ignorant, leave it. Just, I got to go, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's go. Don't stay there with that craziness.
That's right.
Don't you let people talk about your pastor. You said a man feeding you, your spiritual father, and you let him talk and run their mouth. Say, hold up here, that's my pastor. What you saying? I see y'all, I'm gone. I'm gonna mess you up. Because you're trying to put something in your ear and mess you up. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Leave. Don't let that happen. Yeah, you don't have to set your feeling all guilty when I'm teaching. You don't listen to all that foolishness. And you set your, you can't even get yourself adjusted. You're going to miss a revelation. Look at their life. Maintaining a prosperous soul will make everything else in your life prosper.
Yes, sir.
That's 3 John, beloved, I wish above all things you're prospering, being held, even as your soul prosper. See, you have to understand, your soul is not sealed so it can be sifted. See, your spirit sealed.
Yes, sir.
But your soul is out there in the openness. And if you don't cover it, it can be sifted.
Yes, sir. That's good, Holy Ghost.
Wow. Yes. Wow, that's so clear.
Look in one more time. No, you're gonna look at it 1,000 times from here. Ephesians 1:3. And I want to say this so you can hear it. Remember, your spirit has no uncertainties. Your spirit is certified.
Yes, it is.
And it's certain about everything this book says. Your spirit has no uncertainty. Your spirit has no uncertainty. So the uncertainties come out of another realm, out of your soul. But when you train your soul and renew your mind, your soul become like your spirit. Soul is not sealed. You got that?
Yes,
all right. Let's go to Romans 5. But I want you to look at Genesis 2:7. You got to teach your soul how to breathe. And you got to know how to bath your soul to keep it clean. Breathing and bathing. My Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So your soul got to know how to breathe. Atmosphere. Atmosphere. I ain't talking about no smoke either. Atmosphere. Your soul knows it when it's in a bad atmosphere. Contamination. Watch who you hang with. You're called to be separated. Lack precious faith. Lack precious faith. The Bible didn't talk about that for nothing. Lack precious faith. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
you better hear what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me remind you of these switches. Your soul's supposed to be in a position that it can act nobly. Number one, of high birth or exalted rank, where you can think the thoughts of God. When your soul is in line, your mindset is different. You don't think regular.
Amen.
You think like God. Yep. See, when God didn't say, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He didn't say you couldn't have them. Because he gave them to you. See. But your soul come to be nobly of high rank thinking. Then your soul acts forcibly. There's a divine force that begin to flow through you. Either God going to make it or you going to take it. Either God going to make it or you going to take it. Either God going to make it or you going to take it. Switch number three, the soul act calmly. Don't let nothing shake you up. See, because you get, what is it? 1 Timothy 2:7, 2 Timothy 2:7, 1:7. Where is it? God has not given the spirit of fear. Where is that? 2 Timothy 1:7? 2 Timothy 1:7? 1 Timothy, where is that now? Y'all,
2
Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and what else?
Sound.
All right, now when you hear sound mind, don't be guessing. Don't be guessing. Sound mind. Sound soul, baby. The mind determines how the soul going to come out. Sound conscious. Sound imagination. I told you if you don't use your imagination, what you're going to end up? Fascination. Stagnation. Assassination. On the blessings you want. You've got to use your imagination. Your imagination is a gear for you in the spirit. It's a gear you shift. You're living on a certain level and you shift to another level. Your body's still on the same level, but you done shift to the other level, and the other level got to come through. Yeah, it got to come. There's a calmness by the person who is on the inside. We answer too fastly. But then the next switch is the soul act quickly, suddenly, immediately, straightway. That's where it come from. Your soul had been blocking it, arguing with your spirit. So whenever I say soul, I'm talking about your mind. How many of y'all know you've had mind trouble? See, whenever you have mind trouble, just take the rest with you, conscious. Imagination, your emotion, your desire, your will, your intellect, your senses, everything will give you trouble. Your flesh, Satan, the system, self, all of them going to become a problem. You got to get it, my brothers and sisters, where your soul can act freely. It flows with the supernatural, the word of God, the will of God. You cannot be stopped when your soul is connected with your spirit right. So your soul acts freely, pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But then you're not through yet. Bring it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ, so my soul can function right. Then it says your soul acts simply. The simplicity of the blood, the cross, the gospel. Man had made it complicated, but it's a done deal. Simply. Then your soul acts sweetly. How sweet it is to know I can't be taken down. The temptation of losing come from an untrained soul because I have already won. The temptation of losing come from an untrained soul, for I have already won. The temptation of losing come from an untrained soul, untrained mind, untrained conscience, untrained emotion, untrained imagination. For I've already won. That back you back to Ephesians 1:3. God, you say he had delivered us from the power of darkness. We already delivered, translated. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from the curse. To those seven switches, soul act nobly. What else? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another one. There's a certainty. And then temperately. Your soul don't throw a tantrum when you got it trained. Because in the tantrum, the enemy slips up mean on you. You've been there, I know it, look at you. I've been there, Lord have mercy. Then let this ball got by me, and I should have known how to hit it. See, you get all upset, you get irritable. Huh? Now you got cracks in you for sickness and disease to come, for a hole in your finances, a hole in your marriage. All that, because you done let the door open. But that's what I'm going to tell you, is how to keep it shut. See, I've watched over the years, talked to many wonderful people, and some of them wasn't moving. I wonder why they wasn't moving, but now I know why. They need to know of the connection of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, their soul, their spirit and their soul. And I need for you to study. Study about your soul. Because that's where the problem is. The problem is nowhere else. Satan can't whoop you. So Satan is your problem. So what Satan wants us to focus on him. See? But we ain't got to focus on him. Because the Lord already has whooped him. So when you, let me tell you this in my clothing. When you taking authority over the devil or a demon, don't fret yourself, be hollering and screaming. Just tell them, look, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. See, because if you argue with them, you're telling them you got authority. See, when a pan hits you, don't go to hollering. I resist this pan. See, listen, you got to leave. Because if you tell it I resist it, you got a fight going on. We're not about to fight you. You about to go. You seeing that? Yeah, you see, because you give them the right to fight. Jesus handled a demon different. Jesus said, I just want to find out what your name is so I can authorize you to go. So the next time that pain hits you, don't you go to binding and loosing. You just tell it, you got to leave my body. Got it? It got to go. If you know your authority, you see, there's a difference between authority, you listening? Because I'm closing, and argument. Your authority is not an argument. Your authority is what God said. I got it right. I give you power to tread on serpent and scorpion. Power to enemy. Whatever you bind. See, all this spiritual warfare. They're just warring. Man, you ain't got to go all that through all that. Jesus Christ. Demons must bow at the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord and you not. See how that work out for you. Because I know y'all been binding, jump out the bed, jumps out the wall, I'll cut your neck off, devil. You get out of this house in the name of Jesus. He sat in the car and said, I ain't going. She don't know what she's doing. She don't know how I thought it. The devil said, I'm gonna call a few more of you. Come sit down here with us. He's putting red and all that. He's quoting scripture. They said, I'll bind you, John, fine. I ain't going nowhere. She's scared. She don't know what she's doing. She done panicked. I know it's poison because, pain hit my body sometimes. I say, I resist you. And that pain get worse. There's something wrong here. I say, it's not supposed to get worse. It's not supposed to stay like it want to stay. And then one day the revelation came to me, you arguing with the enemy. You must authorize the enemy with your authority. Got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want you to read the prodigal son in Luke 15. The prodigal son is a prosperity parable. Man put the best robe on him, put shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger, and had a feast. And we always look at it, poor little boy got saved. The boy went back to prosperity. Remember the brother at home, the older brother, he argued. You throw a party for this boy. I've been here all the time. There's a boy, you stupid. All I have is yours. I hope Jesus don't be able to call nobody stupid when they get to heaven. I just hope. The Lord so much, I'll be going to let you slide. But all right, you need an envelope for your giving. Let's do that. You watching by internet. I see how many had.